guys, welcome to Telling the Told and Untold. My name is Toro. This case is a bit long, so I hope it compensates for being gone longer than I intended to be. Also, you guys said that you prefer longer videos over two parts, so yeah, I hope you guys will enjoy it. Before we go straight into today's case, I just have to give you guys a content warning. In this video, we do talk about suicide, so if that's not something you think you're interested in watching, then this video probably isn't for you. So maybe you can watch some of my other videos or just wait for my next upload. For today's case, we're going all the way to Stella, which is in the Northwest, and I've never heard about Stella before this case, so I think that just goes to show you how small this town really is. It's so small and everyone treats each other like family, and it's a town where everyone knows everyone's business. People know more about you and your business than you know about your own life and your own business, you know? And just like any other small town, gossip would spread like wildfire. In Stella, there's also Stella High School, and Stella High School is like a really large high school where a lot of students would attend. And because Stella is so remote, most of the learners would be from like surrounding areas, and there would mostly be weekly boarders because they live so far away or outside of Stella. And the people in Stella would say that the students at this high school were like an extension of them, and they were like the community's heart. Like, they would see them in the streets going from their hostel to class, and it was just a very small, tight-knit community. Then on the 28th of May 2018, police officers arrived at Stella High School in the early hours of the morning because they received a phone call that 17-year-old Chantal Ho had been found hanging from the stair railing with a piece of green rope tied around her neck. The house mother then told the police that there were actually two girls in the hostel staying over that weekend, and they weren't able to find the second girl. Immediately, police officers tried searching for the second girl. The hostel was two stories, so they went to the second floor. They looked around, they couldn't find her. They went back to the ground floor. They went to one of the bedrooms that was unlocked. She still wasn't there. And then they walked into the bathroom, and this is when they found 16-year-old Marna Engelbrecht lying face down in a crouching position. She was on her knees with her body bent forward onto the bathroom floor, and around her neck was a piece of material from a sling bag which had been wound around a tap around her head. And it seemed as though she had been hung with the sling bag, but because of her weight, the sling broke, and that's how she ended up in the position that she was found in. Chantal's father called Marna's father and told him that they immediately had to get to Stella because both of their children were dead and they had taken their own lives. And as soon as Marna's father heard this, he didn't believe it at all. He didn't think that the two girls would take their own lives, especially his daughter, because she hadn't shown that she was suicidal, and it was also a sin for her to take her own life. And he immediately thought that there was a third party involved in their children's deaths, and that they had been murdered. And as I mentioned, there was a very tight-knit community, and news spread like wildfire. And as soon as people heard this, everyone had the same question that Marna and Chantal's fathers had, and that was, where was Zander Bleisma? So let me tell you about Chantal and Marna. But first, let me start with Chantal. Chantal Ho, in May 2018, was 17 years old, and she was an only child. When she was younger, her parents did get a divorce, and her father, Ronnie, did go on to remarry, and she lived primarily with her father, her stepmother, as well as her stepbrother. But she was still really close to her mother, and she would see her mother most weekends as well. When Chantal went to Stella High School, she too became a weekly boarder, and she was also a cheerleader. She was described as someone who was really beautiful. She was so beautiful that her father wanted her to be a model so that she would be able to travel the world and make money whilst, you know, just having pictures taken of her, but she wanted to be on the opposite end of the camera. She wanted to be a photographer. She was also described as someone who was loving, kind, sweet. She was a farm girl and she loved nature. Just like Charnel, Manna was also a farm girl, and she lived on a farm in the Freiburg area with her parents and her sister. As a young girl, she was described as someone who was happy, joyful, and she was really gentle. She was also inquisitive and she loved trying out new things. She also loved animals, and when she was older, she wanted to be a vet. And she was the type of person who, if you were in a car with her and she saw an animal who was injured on the side of the road, she would make you stop the car so that she could get out and she could help this animal. And I think that just goes to show you the type of person that Marna was. Her and Charnel were really close. They were the best of friends, and they were so close that like each other's parents would see themselves as having an extra daughter. Like on weekends when Charnel would go home, sometimes Marna would go with her, or when Marna would go home, Charnel would go with her. And that's just the type of friendship that they had, and their families loved them and they loved each other. Now let me tell you about Xander Bleisma. His mother, Mersha, had suffered multiple miscarriages before she had her rainbow baby, Xander. And her and her husband were really excited when they found out she was pregnant. But when she was pregnant, she also discovered that she had German measles, and doctors recommended that she terminate her pregnancy because they thought that maybe once her child was born, they might be disabled or just have a lot of health issues. But her and her husband really wanted to have this child, and they were ready to deal with anything that would come with this child. So they decided to go through with their pregnancy, and they're happy they did. Xander was born prematurely and he was very sickly as a baby, but he was able-bodied, and his parents were very happy that they had decided to continue with the pregnancy instead of listening to doctors and terminating. When Xander was in primary school, his parents did get a divorce, and this struck him pretty hard. He was extremely close to his mother, and this divorce, like any other child who has been through like their parents divorcing, he was hurt, he was confused. So his parents decided to take him to see a psychologist, but he really wasn't into it. Like, you know, if you go see a psychologist, you should also have like the intention of working towards it, or like bettering yourself and listening to what they had to say. But Xander didn't. Like, he would just go there because his parents were taking him there, and he really didn't take anything to heart or listen to what was being said. So it really wasn't beneficial. Xander has been described as someone who is extremely straightforward. He's like the no-nonsense kind of guy and abrasive. But other people would also describe him as someone who is soft-hearted, who enjoyed the outdoors, and who was extremely respectful to his elders. Throughout his high school years at Stella, he was almost expelled on several occasions for bullying, assault, as well as possession of alcohol. And the last incident actually got him kicked out of hostel. And because of this, he had to stay in a cottage near the hostel, and this was just before his matric year in 2017. Once Xander matriculated, he moved in permanently with his stepmother and father on his father's farm in Freiburg. And Xander's father was also a well-known man in the community, as he was a former police officer. In 2017, Xander and Charnel started dating, and her family and friends were very happy that she had found someone who she was really excited about, someone that she really liked and, you know, seemed to love. They thought that Xander was a very respectful guy, and he seemed to love their daughter. And there was one occasion where he had actually sent Charnel's mother a really long message on WhatsApp, just professing his love for Charnel, telling her that he was going to protect her, that he was going to love her. And she thought that was so nice of him, and she really didn't see anything wrong with him. But not too long after they started dating, people started seeing red flags. It also turned out that before the two of them started dating, some people had mentioned that Xander didn't have the greatest reputation in the area, and he was known to be a bit of a troublemaker, and they weren't sure that he was the greatest fit for Charnel. But Charnel wanted to give him a chance. But it became clear that he had a lot of expectations of Sharnal. Marna had started noticing that Sharnal was very distant in their friendship. And it wasn't like the kind of distant that would happen if they got into relationships. Like, she knew that a point would come where they would be in relationships with guys and they wouldn't be able to spend as much time together because they would be with their partners. But what was happening with Sharnal and Xander was different. Like, he was very possessive and he went out of his way to make sure that she wouldn't hang out with her friends and she wouldn't hang out with her family either. He was extremely possessive and he was very insecure about his relationship with Sharnal. He would go through her phone, he would read her messages, he had a password. Some people said that at some point he had even bought her a phone so that he could have access to it and have access to her messages. He would monitor her social media posts and soon he would physically intimidate her as well. And they had also witnessed Xander pushing her and grabbing her arms when they would argue. It's also speculated that he was physically abusive. He would also manipulate and blackmail her. At some point, he had forced her to drop out of cheerleading. She wasn't allowed to have guy friends. And it also seemed as though he would, like, control what she ate. And he would buy her food and sweets that would, like, try and... Like, he was almost trying to make her gain weight and trying to make her less attractive so that other guys wouldn't want her. She wasn't allowed to shave her legs either. Like, he was just very controlling of how she looked, who she spoke to, what she posted, and it just wasn't the greatest relationship to be in. Xander and Sharnal had an on and off relationship for about 8 to 9 months, and when they would be off, Xander would just, you know, try and convince her that they were just going through bad times in their relationship and they could have, like, good times. But Marna was not having any of it. She really thought that the relationship that her best friend and Xander had was extremely toxic, and she just wanted Sharnal to just break up with him because she knew that it wasn't a healthy position for her to be in. And Xander didn't like Marna. He was not her biggest fan. There was one occasion where Marna and Sharnal were sitting outside on the patio at school, and Xander saw the two of them, and then he went up to them and he basically started shouting at Marna, telling her that he was the only one that could have a relationship with Sharnal and that he was like hers. And then he grabbed her so hard that she had, like, bruises of his fingers on her arm. That's how hard he grabbed her. So it just really wasn't the best relationship to be in. Then in September 2017, Xander asked Sharnal to be his date for his matric farewell. And a lot of people have a lot of thoughts about this matric farewell and everything that happened leading up to this matric farewell and on the day. So once Xander asked Sharnal to be his date, she immediately said yes. She was really excited. Her and her mom went out and they got her a dress for this matric farewell. And once she told him that she had already got a dress, he was upset and he said that he had planned everything down to the last detail. He and his mom had already gotten someone to, like, make her a custom dress. He chose what hairstyle she would have, what shoes she was going to wear, what earrings she was going to wear. He also said that she wasn't allowed to have any makeup done because he didn't like how girls look like with makeup. But his mother convinced him that having Sharnal's makeup done was part of the whole, like, matric dance experience. Then on the day of Xander's matric farewell, Sharnal went to Xander's mom's house to get ready there. And at first she didn't think much of it, but then she soon became, like, a bit uncomfortable because she felt as though Xander was just, like, way too controlling of everything. And she expressed this to various people. Xander's mother, on the other hand, says that it really wasn't that big of a deal. It was Xander's matric dance and he just wanted to take care of Sharnal, wanted her to just, like, show up and have everything be done for her, and she didn't think it was a big deal, but other people find it like very odd and like really controlling, especially the fact that he knew that her and her mother had already went out to buy her this matric dance dress and they had spent money on it, and he still was not going to have it because he wanted everything done the way that he wanted and she had no say. Once the year ended, Zander matriculated, and because of this, he went to live on his father's farm permanently, which was a bit of a distance away from Stella. And because of this, he wasn't able to see Shahnal as often as he did. And it's probably because of this distance and the fact that she had some time away from him that she finally decided in early 2018 to end her relationship with Zander for good. Like, not like before where they would break up and get back together. She was sure of her decision and there was no chance of them getting back together. And Zander was not happy with this decision and he was not going to let Shahnal go that easily. Shahnal, on the other hand, was very firm in her decision, and she had even told her parents and her friends that she wasn't happy in the relationship and that she didn't like how aggressive Zander would be when things didn't go his way, because it really scared her. And a lot of them were so happy to see that her relationship with him had finally ended. And as I mentioned, Zander was not going to let it go that easily. He would pressure Shahnal to get back together with him, and eventually Marna got so tired of Zander like not wanting to leave her best friend alone that she decided to send him a message. I forgot to mention that Zander and Marna were actually related. They were cousins. I don't think they were like first cousins. I think they were like second cousins. Like, their moms were related somehow. I think they were cousins. Something like that. It doesn't really have anything to do with the case, but I just thought it was interesting that they were related. So Marina decided to send Zander a message, and she basically just told him in no simple terms that he must leave Shahnal alone, and that if he didn't leave her alone, that she would get her friend's parents to like sort him out, basically. And he replied to this message with like a list of profanities, calling her names, not being the nicest person, and then he ended off the message with saying that he would shoot her if he had to. And after this, Marna showed her dad the messages because she was scared that this guy had said this to her, and her dad read the messages and he immediately called Zander's father and basically told him to control his son and said that that's no way for someone to speak to a girl, to speak to anyone, and was like, you better control your son, otherwise I'll like beat him up if I have to. And then a couple of minutes later, Zander called Marna's dad and basically said to him, which is like, uncle, I can't beat you up, but I'll shoot you. And Marna's dad thought that was weird. Like, he wasn't, like, he didn't think that Zander would like go through with his threats, but to him it was very telling of the type of person that Zander was, his character. So he basically just told Marina to just leave Zander alone and, you know, just forget about it. A couple of months would go by, and now we're in April, and Zander still didn't believe that Shahnal had broken up with him, and he still wanted to get her back. He would still call her, he would still send her messages, but Shahnal had moved on. She started seeing another guy in her high school. For the purpose of this video, we're just going to call him John. He was like one of the top rugby players at school, and he had actually liked Shahnal whilst she was still in a relationship with Zander. And once her and Zander had broken up, the two of them could speak more, because obviously Zander didn't like her having guy friends. And John, Marna and Shahnal would have like this really cute friendship. It was like a trio. They would hang out together and they were really close. Another month would go by and Zander would still not leave Shahnal alone. He was extremely persistent, and you could say he was borderline stalking her. He would constantly call her, he would message her, he would drive all the way to Stella to go see her at school. Sometimes he would corner her, like would make sure that she was alone, corner her so that she wouldn't be able to like escape him and walk away. And it got to the point where Shahnal had to make sure that she was never alone in case Xander would just pop out of nowhere and try and corner her. Then on Friday, the 28th of May, 2018, it was the weekend, so everyone in the hostel were going home for the weekend, but Marna and Sharnal were going to stay in the hostel, and this was because the rugby boys were going to Koster the next day for a rugby game, and as I mentioned earlier, Sharnal's mother lived in Koster, so she thought it was a good opportunity for her to go see her mother, and she could just catch a ride with the rugby players. And because her and Marina were so close, Marina was also going to go with Sharnal to go see her mother the next day. So they were the only two girls left in the hostel that weekend. And the house mother knew this, and they had already made arrangements with her that the next morning she was going to wake them up at 6 in the morning so that the two girls could get ready and be at the bus in time for them to leave at 6:30 that morning. So that night the two girls spent it together in a hostel. They were drinking coffee, they were chatting, hanging out, just having a lot of fun. And then at around 11 p.m. Sharnal texted John and asked if he wanted to come to the girls' hostel so that they could, like, the three of them could just hang out, they could drink coffee together. And he went there happily, they were smiling, they were laughing, but he noticed that Sharnal's phone kept ringing non-stop. When he asked her about it, she just said that it was Xander and he just wouldn't stop calling, but she had been ignoring his calls the whole night. The three of them were hanging out, they were laughing, they were dancing, they were popping each other's back pimples, and it was just a really good night. And then at around midnight, Sharnal got so tired of Xander consistently calling her and not stopping that she finally just decided to answer his many phone calls. And as soon as she answered this phone call, she put him on speaker. And the first thing he asked was if she was alone, and she said that she was, but he sounded a bit like suspicious or like hesitant, so he told her to go to the next room, and she did. But then she just immediately went back to the room that she was in with Marna and John, and Xander asked her first if she wanted to go out for, like, I guess, like, late dinner, and she said no, that she was fine. And then he asked if he could come and drop off some clothes at Stella High School that he still had at his house, and Sharnal just said that she would get her dad to stop by the farm and pick them up. And then Xander said that he didn't know when he was going to be available again because he was really busy, and that he could drop them off right then and there at Stella High School. And Sharnal said no, like, that's not gonna happen. And then Xander got really angry and he became more aggressive, and then he asked if the gate at the hostel was open, to which Sharnal said no, it wasn't. The gate was actually open, and this was because Sharnal and Marina had asked their house mother to leave it open in case they just wanted to go out and get, like, some fresh air. They usually did this when some girls went home for the weekend and there weren't a lot of girls in the hostel. So she just lied to him and said no, that it was closed. And then he became even more aggressive, and then she said that if he did go to the hostel, then she would get Marina to go to the downstairs window and get her stuff through the window. And then this just made him even more angry, and he started swearing at her, like a whole list of profanities. And then he ended the phone call by saying, "You're going to be sorry when you see what I do tonight." And then he dropped the call. John says that once the phone call ended, Sharnal did a whole 180. Like, she wasn't the happy, fun, laughing girl that she was before the phone call. Now she was really scared, and he wondered if it was because of threat. And this was because it turned out that it wasn't the first time that Xander had threatened Sharnal. At first he had just threatened her by saying that he was going to take his own life if they didn't get back together. So he thought that when he made this threat, that he was threatening to take his own life again. So after this whole phone call and everything, it was time for John to go back to his dorm, but he asked Charnal if he should stay in the hostel with her and Marina just to make sure that they were okay, but Charnal said that no, it was okay, that he should just go back to the boys' hostel. And then he offered for the two girls to go back with him to the boys' hostel to sleep there with the rugby players, but Charnal said that they can't do that. She was scared that they were going to get in trouble with their house mother or the head of hostel that was staying at the boys' hostel, so she just said that they were going to be okay. And John said okay, and then he left and went back to the boys' hostel. And then at around 1 a.m. he sent Charnal a message asking if she was okay, and again he offered for him to stay at their hostel or for the girls to stay in the boys' hostel, but Charnal said that it was okay and that he shouldn't worry and that she was fine. At 3:42, Charnal sent her father, Ronnie, a message, and he would only see this message once he woke up a couple of hours later. But once he saw the message, he thought it was very odd and strange. It was a picture of Charnal in a bra, and it said, "I love you, John," in Afrikaans. And then about 30 minutes after that, at 4:17, Charnal also sent her mom a message, and she said, "Mommy, I just want to say that I love mommy and I'm sorry," as well as something along the lines of her and Marna having to leave this place. She would also only see the message when she woke up about 2 hours later, and when she saw this message, she immediately thought that something was wrong, and she tried to call Charnal, but Charnal didn't answer her phone. And then she called her ex-husband, and she just asked him whether Charnal and Marna were still going to Goster that morning, or like if plans had changed. But he said that as far as he knew, that plans hadn't changed and the girls were still gonna go to Goster that morning. And then that's when he also woke up and saw the message that Charnal had sent him. The house mother walked into the girls' hostel, and the first thing she noticed was a clump of long dark hair on the floor near the downstairs bathroom. She was still half asleep and she didn't think much of it, and then she continued on to the first floor rooms where Marna and Charnal slept. And as she rounded the banister, she saw something that would haunt her for the rest of her life. She saw Charnal hanging. She immediately bolted out of there. In the moment, she didn't think about Marna. She went straight to the boys' hostel to wake up the head of hostel who was sleeping there. And the boys were already up getting ready to go for their rugby game in Goster. So she tried not to like look scared or make them panic. She knocked on the door and she got the head of the hostel to go to the girls' dorm. And then once they got there, they went to Charnal and they confirmed that she was indeed dead. And then after that, they ran outside and they called the police. The police arrived fairly quickly, and this was because the police station is about 1.2 or 3 kilometers away from Stella High School, so they really didn't have to travel that far. And as soon as the officer got to Stella, he walked inside, found Charnal, and they told him that there was a second girl missing. And now we're going back to where I left you guys in the beginning of the video. After they found Marna and also confirmed that she too was deceased, a team was formed, and then they informed the Ho and Engelbrecht family about Charnal and Marna's apparent suicide. When Charnal's father received the phone call, he immediately called his brother who lived closer to Stella and told him that he had to get to the high school because they said that Marna and Charnal were deceased. So his brother got to Stella High School, and once he got there, Charnal was still hanging, and he was informed that they couldn't remove her body yet because they had to wait for forensics to assess the scene. So he waited there, and then Charnal's father eventually arrived. And when he got there, Charnal was still hanging and he couldn't bear to see her just there and like the police waiting for forensics to arrive. So he just like pushed past them, went straight to his daughter and tried to get her down. He then called his brother to come help him, and his brother had a pocket knife. He took out the pocket knife and cut the rope, and then he held Charnal in his arms and he fell down onto a mattress that was on the floor, and he just held Charnal in his arms, crying. And he says that as he was holding her, her body was still warm, and a part of him hoped that it was all a bad dream and that she would wake up. The Engelbrechts also arrived on the scene, and then they were taken to the bathroom where Marna was, and it was Marna's mom and her sister that identified her body and confirmed that it was Marna. And they said that as soon as they saw her and saw how her body was positioned, they didn't think that it was a suicide. As all of this was happening, the rugby boys had climbed onto the bus and they were headed for Koster. And this is when John realized that Marna and Sharnal were not there. And then the head of hostel approached him and asked for Marna's phone numbers. And he basically just asked him where the girls were and said that they weren't on the bus. And the head of hostel told him that he noticed the girls' absence and that the boys would hear more about what was happening once they got to Koster. And as they were on their way to Koster, John was so worried and he tried calling and sending Sharnal messages, but they went unanswered. And once they got to Koster, they gathered the boys on the field and they told them that both girls had been found dead in the hostel. They didn't tell them how they were found or that they think it was a suicide, but as soon as John heard this, he immediately thought back to the phone call from the night before and the threat that Xander had made. So he immediately called Sharnal's father and told him about the phone call. In the early hours after Marna and Sharnal were found, the school committee alongside Ronnie decided to call in Chris Saunders. Chris is a private investigator and the school basically wanted to protect themselves from anything that might have happened, whether the girls had taken their own lives or they had been murdered. They just wanted all their bases covered and they wanted Chris to work alongside the police. And Ronnie, he agreed to having Chris come in because he was scared that the police might mess up the investigation and might not solve it correctly. And once Chris got to the scene, police officers granted him access and they gave him a walkthrough. He viewed the bodies and went back outside to talk to their parents, and this is the first time he heard the name Xander Bleisma. Although the scene did look like a suicide, once Chris saw the bodies and just saw where they were, he didn't think that it was a suicide. I didn't think that the girls had taken their own lives, and this was because the girls weren't found together. They were found in two separate places. Also, where Sharnal was found hanging, there were bicycles lined up and the bicycles had not been disturbed in any way. They were still standing up straight. And then in the bathroom where Marna was found, there wasn't a chair there, like a chair that she would have used to like help her. As Chris was talking to the parents about Xander and his relationship with Sharnal, this is when they told him that Marna's father, Stefans, had went to Xander's dad's farm after he heard about the threat he had made the night before. And they told him this because they were scared about what Stefans might do. They were scared that he might do something to Xander. He also had a weapon on him and he was a grieving father. And as soon as Chris heard this, he jumped into his car and he drove straight to Xander's dad's farm. And once he got there, he found Xander's dad as well as Stefan's. Xander's was sitting down on the ground and he was just slumped over. And as soon as he got there, he saw that Stefan's was extremely angry. Stefan's was shouting and insisting that Xander had killed his daughter. It is also believed that Stefan's shoved a weapon in Xander's mouth and threatened to kill him. Chris tried to defuse the situation and told Stefan's to just let Xander go, said that he was going to take Xander to the police station so that he could give them, like, just tell them basically where he was the night before. He can give a statement. And then Xander's dad was like, you know, trying to see what Chris was trying to do. He didn't want his son to just go with like this person and say things that he wasn't supposed to. Chris also noticed that Xander was slurring his words and he seemed pretty out of it. And then he asked Xander's dad if he had taken anything, and Xander's dad said no, and that Xander was just like in a state of shock about the news about what had happened to his cousin and his ex-girlfriend. It would later turn out that Xander did actually take antidepressants as well as anti-anxiety medication. They weren't prescribed to him. They're not too sure who they were prescribed to or how he got a hold of them, but that is why he was like slumped over and slurring his words. After this, Chris said that he was going to take Xander to the police station and that like he's going to take Xander with him to the car. Xander's dad was hesitant to let Chris take Xander with him in like the two of them in one car and to the police station, but then Chris told him that he could just follow behind them in the car. And then after that, Xander's dad told Chris that he didn't have an alibi for his son and that he had left his son the night before at around 6:30 that morning, and that he had only arrived in the morning like the following day, so he didn't have an alibi for him. And then he asked Chris if he should get a lawyer, and Chris said that that was probably a good idea. Once they got into the car, Xander sat in the front seat with Chris, and Chris just basically started asking him about what happened, how he heard the news. And at some point, Xander placed himself in a field near Stella, or near Stella High School. And then after that, he placed himself in the hostel with Marna and Charnel, and then he confessed to killing both girls. Once they got to the police station, Chris handed him over to the police, and there Xander gave a full confession and told them what had happened. And then after that, Chris walked out of the police station. As he was walking out, he saw Xander's dad walking in, and that was the last time he ever saw Xander or Xander's dad. Xander being in prison was his mom's breaking point. For 4 days while Xander was in prison, his mom did not leave his side. She would sleep and stay under a canopy in the police's like parking area, and every few hours she would just shout, "Mommy's here," so that Xander would hear her. And once the community heard that Xander had confessed to the murders, they were completely taken aback and they were shocked, and they couldn't believe that the girls had been killed in the hostel where they were supposed to be safe. And they also couldn't believe that Xander had killed someone in his own family, because as I mentioned, Xander and Marina were cousins. And they also didn't believe that someone whose father was so well known in the community, someone whose father was an ex-police officer, was capable of killing two innocent girls. The trial began and everyone thought it was going to be an open and shut case, and this was because Xander had confessed to police officers after Chris had dropped him off. He had done a pointing out and he had just given them a lot of information, and he had literally just said that he had done it. So they thought that it was going to be a quick trial, he was going to plead guilty, and that was going to be it. And the advocate who was assigned to the case even gave Xander an offer and said that he was probably going to be sentenced to, or get a 25-year sentence for each case, and then he would probably get parole after 15 years because he had already pleaded guilty and had made a confession. But what did Xander do? Xander denied this offer. He was not going to take it. And then he said something that shocked everyone. He said that he had been threatened and forced to make a confession and that he had not killed the girls. He had blamed Chris for him making a confession and said that Chris Saunders, the private investigator, had told him everything that he had to say or else his parents were going to be killed. Because Xander had said that Chris had basically threatened him and had forced him to make a confession, Chris was then subpoenaed, to be a witness, and then he went to go see the advocate just to prepare him before taking the stand. And then the advocate told him that, listen, Xander said that she threatened him, and he says that, you know, he didn't kill the girls. And after this, Chris said that he wasn't worried, and the advocate told him, like, listen, this is a serious thing, you should be worried, because if it is true, then this whole case, like, falls apart, and that it will show that police officers had tunnel vision and they focused on one person and they didn't fully investigate, and that a killer was somewhere out there. And then Chris went on to explain that he wasn't afraid because he had recorded the whole thing. So what Chris would do when he, like, investigates is that he always has a tape recorder and he makes recordings of everything. So as soon as he got to Xander's dad's farm, he immediately pulled out his tape recorder, hit record, and it caught everything. It caught him arriving on the farm. It caught him speaking to Xander's dad. It caught Stefan's threatening Xander. And it also caught Xander's full confession and how he said he killed the girls. So let's get into Xander's confession. If I can find some clips, I'll insert them here, and if not, I'll just put the link in the description box. So at first, Xander said that he heard about Sharnal and Marna in the early hours of the morning at around 7 from one of Marna's cousins. And then after this, Chris asks him to take him back to the night before, and he asks where he was. And then Xander says that he was with a friend until 10:15 that evening. And at first, as I mentioned earlier, he denied being near Stella that night and in the early hours of the morning. And then he went quiet for a while, and then he told Chris that Stefan's said that there was a video of the crime scene. And then Chris confirmed that there was a video, and Xander asked if he could see it, and Chris basically just said that he didn't think that that was possible or that it was a good idea. Xander then told Chris about his movements from the night before. After he had dropped off his friend, he said that he went to a garage to grab a pie so that he could eat it, and then he drove to a field where he usually smoked cigarettes, and he says that he did this out of habit, which was a bit strange because this field was near or in Stella and he lived a good distance away from there, so it didn't make sense, like, why he would travel all the way there just to smoke, like, one cigarette or two. But he said that he did this, and then after that he drove to his mom's farm where she stayed, and he waited outside for a bit, and then he eventually went in, and then that was that. And then Chris then asks if he's sure that he and his friend, or even just him, didn't go to the hostel at some point that night. And then Xander went back to when he dropped off his friend and when he went to the field to smoke. And then he said that he's not sure what happened after that. And then Chris asked him whether he doesn't know what happened after that, or if he doesn't want to remember what happened after that. He then says that he went to the hostel to go speak to Sharnal, and he says he's not sure what time it was, but he says he thinks it was around 2 that morning. And then he says once he got there, they sat on the stairs and they spoke for a while, and that Sharnal said that she wasn't going to get back together with him because she was seeing someone else, and he said that this made him really angry. And then Chris asked if he hung Sharnal and strangled Marna in the bathroom, and at first Xander denied this, but then as the conversation continued for a bit, Xander says that he feels as though the murders were like a dream. And then he says that at some point Sharnal said that she wanted to get back together with him, but Marna wouldn't allow it. And sometime after this, Sharnal said that she was getting cold, so she went up to her room so that she could wear long pants. And this is when Marna went to the downstairs bathroom so that, you know, she could use it. So because Sharnal was in the bedroom, like, changing her pants, Xander saw this as an opportunity, so he walked to the bathroom, like, after Marna, and as he was walking there, he saw, like, the sling bag on the side, so he just took the sling bag, then he went into the bathroom. He saw Marna washing her hands and then pushed her head against the wall, and then he tied her with the sling bag and then hung her to make it look like a suicide. And once he got out of the bathroom, Sharnal was already back by the stairs, and then he sat down with her and they continued speaking for almost an hour after he had already killed Marna and Marna was in the bathroom. And he says that as he was still speaking to Chantal, she continued on saying that she didn't want them to get back together. And then he got really mad, and then he punched her in the chest to wind her, and then he wrapped his forearm around her neck and strangled her until she passed out. He then tied the rope around her neck and around the stair railing, and then lowered her until she was dangling in the air. And then he says that he walked away. The entire recording was played in court, and even after it was played, Xander still kept saying that he was basically threatened by Chris to make a confession, even though the courts had evidence that he was just lying, he was making this up, and Chris hadn't like led him to say anything, Chris hadn't given him any information. And they also had the post-mortem results, and the post-mortem results basically matched what Xander had said in his confession. So the post-mortem results showed that Chantal had a bruise on her chest from when Xander had hit her in the chest to wind her, and the doctor had also found two injuries on her neck. They found one made from the rope, and they found another one which was larger than the rope, and it was almost like the size of a arm, so it matches what Xander had said in his confession to Chris. They also found that Chantal had defensive wounds, and she even had her own skin under her nails. It is believed that while Chantal was hanging, she woke up and she realized what was happening to her, and she tried to free herself. All her fingernails on her right hand were broken, and some on her left hand were broken as well. It is believed that when Xander got to the hostel, Marna heard him and Chantal having an argument, so she went down the stairs to maybe confront him, or she went to the bathroom to listen in, and then Xander saw this as an opportunity to knock her out and kill her. And as he was walking to the bathroom to maybe confront her or just give her a piece of his mind, he saw the bag on his way there, and then that's when he decided that he was going to kill her. She didn't have any defensive wounds, and her nail beds were intact, unlike Chantal, so they do believe that she didn't see it coming, and once Xander had knocked her unconscious, then that was that. It is also believed that Chantal's murder was premeditated, and this was because of the rope that Xander had used. Xander said that he found the rope in the luggage room, but the house mother and all of the students say that they had never seen that rope before. So it questions, like, people wonder whether he came with the rope and already knew what he was going to do with it. Finally, in August 2020, Xander Bleisma was found guilty for the murders of Chantal Ho and Marna Engelbracht and sentenced to 2 life imprisonments. To this day, Xander Bleisma says that he didn't kill the girls, and his parents also say that they have evidence to prove his innocence, but still they have never released any of this evidence that they say they have. A lot of people blame the school for not keeping Chantal and Marna safe. They say that Xander shouldn't have had access to the school at all, and that the hostel was supposed to be a safe space for the girls, and that it should have been locked and there should have been tighter security measures, whilst other people believe that Xander was going to kill the girls either way, and whether it was in the school hostel or somewhere else, it was still going to happen. Chantal Ho and Marna Engelbracht were the best of friends, and some people would even say they were like sisters. Because of their friendship, their families decided to have a conjoined funeral, and they were said to be so inseparable that they couldn't live without one another. So Marna's sister believes because of this that they were destined to go together, and it's easier knowing that just like in this life, they're together in the next.